You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
So I want to tell you about our grace group we had on Wednesday night. It was an amazing time. Our couples grace group, our pattern is typically we rotate the childcare location and the meeting location. So we did that, drop off the kids, get over there. We always joke that at least once a week we have a good meal. So we have a good meal, cooked meal together. And so we wind down, catch up, ton of laughter. Then we clear the table and sit at the kitchen table. So we just go into the spiritual, what are we going to do spiritually that night together? And I had a suggestion that we go around the room and we all share one or two spiritual prayer requests. Things that, kingdom of God things about your job, relationship, you know, your marriage, your relationship with others, children, relationship with Christ, whatever is like on your heart. And so we did that and I said, hey, remember the person that's next to you. We're going to go around again and you're going to pray for the person on your right. And so it was an amazing time, by the way, that night. In fact, one of the couples said they spent the rest of the night till midnight just talking about the moment. The next day, saw a couple of them, two other couples. They still were talking about like how good it was to spend time with Christ, with friends together. And so my prayer request that night, I said, hey, guys, early this week, I've just been down. I don't know what you call it, burdened, what do you call it, borderline depressed. I'm not sure what the words you use for it. And there's really no reason for it. Like, there was no reason for me to be down. I just was down. And as a consequence, I didn't want to spend time with God, which is not good, right? So I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do any of that stuff because I'm down. And then I share with them, I said, guys, I don't want to be that guy who's controlled by my emotions. Like, so when my emotions are up, then I'm nice to God and to others. I mean, my wife would not appreciate me living that way. Like, if I wake up right side of the bed, now I'm nice. And the next day, because my emotions are down, now I'm not. Kind of a jerk. My kids don't appreciate that because that's what love is. Love is being consistent with others, like, despite how your feelings feel at the moment. Because they're capricious. They go up and down. So I started thinking about that. It was an amazing time. We went around. We all prayed for each other. It was really good. And I shared with them, you know, I can't control my feelings. By the Holy Spirit, I can manage my response to how I'm feeling at that point, not be controlled by my feelings. And I started to think about the invisible God who's around us all the time and what it must be like to be God. Imagine being God for a second. You're invisible. You're right with the people all the time. You love them. And you're just... Imagine being God. You want them to know you. And you're invisible. You're right there. You want them to relate to you. You want them to show you some love and some time with you, regardless if they feel up or down, just like regular people do. And you want them to walk with you through life. You got a plan for their life. And I started thinking from God's perspective what that would be like. In fact, I even wondered this. I wonder if I just don't feel like reading the Bible, I don't feel like praying, I don't want to talk to God, I wonder, and let's say I do it. Let's say I actually spend time with God and I don't get anything out of it. Like I get nothing out of it. I'm like, that was worthless. I wonder if that's actually the ultimate expression of love for God. Because I know I do things and my family does things for me they don't like doing. I do things for my wife. I don't like doing them. For my kids, I don't enjoy the process. But I do it because I love them. And I wonder if sometimes we spend time with God just because he's getting benefit, if that's not like the ultimate expression of love, because you do things for people you love when you don't enjoy them sometimes. So this is what our series is actually about. We're kicking off a brand new Christmas time series. I could not be more excited about this. It's called Light. And we're going to be talking about the mystery of Christmas. We're talking about the invisible God, the God of light, who's all around us. We're going to be talking about the science of light and darkness. We're going to be talking about what the Bible has to say about light and darkness. All of this to help us know God better and walk with him better. And today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. And if you want to open your Bibles there with me, 1 John chapter 1. If you're new to Grace, our ushers do have Bibles, and they can get one to you to borrow or keep if you raise your hand. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to be there in a moment. I do want to welcome all of our campuses to our Overland Park campus, in the auditorium or in the venue. Welcome, guys. Nice to have you here. If you're part of our Olathe campus team that is being hosted in the venue for just a few more short weeks, we're about to send you guys out to our Olathe campus, plant our Olathe campus. Welcome, guys. And to those of you online, like wherever you're at, we believe God has something really special for you this weekend here at Grace Church. And so today's topic, if you're taking notes, is this one. God is light. That's our topic. God, not that God shows light or God enjoys light or God shines light. God is light. And what does that even mean? We're going to talk about that today. Here's a couple questions to get us warmed up, get our juices flowing today. A question to ask yourself. Ask yourself this question. Do you know God? Like, do you really know God? Ask yourself this question. How well do you know God? Like, how well do you know God? And how are you growing these days to know God better? How are you growing these days to know God better? Because God is light. God is light. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you at the start of this Christmas season and the start of this light series. You say clearly in Scripture that you are light. And we need your help to both understand what that even means so we can know you better, so we can know how to walk with you better, so we can love you better. So we ask you, God, to open up our eyes to this. I pray for those people who don't know the God of light and the God who is light, that they might give their life to Jesus this weekend at this time, wherever they're at. They might surrender their heart and life to Jesus Christ, giving you Jesus control over their life as the Lord of the universe, the one who died and rose again, the one who was born 2,000 years ago. God clothed in human form, the mystery of Christmas. God, open our eyes. And if somebody maybe is walking in darkness these days, but they are a child of light, God, restore them on the path with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 John chapter 1. The Apostle John begins writing on behalf of his friends, the other apostles. They had a small group of 13 guys, the disciples, and he begins writing saying what it was like to have this relationship with Jesus, how amazing it is, and he ends up saying, I'm sharing this with you in the Bible, that you also can have the same rich daily experience with Jesus. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, listen, hearing and seeing Jesus, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, like we touched him, the risen one, concerning the word of life. He says, guys, it was incredible to be with the word of life. John is drawing upon another book he wrote, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. Jesus is called the word, the Greek word logos. He is the word of God. Jesus is God eternal. And he says, man, we had an amazing experience. And then he says, we have a message for you about that experience. Verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father before Christmas and was manifested to us. That's the mystery of Christmas. That you also, he says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, here it comes, that you also, those who now have the Holy Spirit, those reading the inspired word of God, that you can have this incredible experience with Jesus daily as if you were a part of the apostles. Like, that's the amazing nature of a relationship with Christ, that you also may have fellowship with us. What is fellowship? Fellowship is a relationship with the spiritual dimension. It's a friendship when you add Jesus to it. And so when you have a friendship with Jesus or a relationship with the spiritual dimension, it's what our grace group had. We all came in at different points in our walk. We had time together with Jesus. That's called fellowship. He changed all of us. We went out better together on Wednesday from our grace group. He says, you also may have fellowship with us, verse 3, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, if you do this, by the way, if you have this living relationship, you're going to be changed. Verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. See, if you have this living relationship with Jesus as if you're part of the apostles in modern day times, your joy can be full. God doesn't want your joy to be partial. He doesn't want your joy to be half full. He doesn't want your joy to be 90% full. God wants your joy to be full. And he's not promising there that you'll not be sad or down or depressed. He's not saying, this is the message we write to you, verse 4, that you'll never be sad, that you'll never be down or burdened like I was early this week. He says, when you're sad, your joy will also be full. When you're depressed, your joy will also be full because your feelings go up and down like a bipolar, unstable friend inside you. Friends sometimes, right? And yet you can have full joy when you're down. Then he says this. He says, we need to know God better and know God is light. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Here it comes, that God is light. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. Okay, so what does that mean to say that God is light? In him is no darkness at all. I think there's a couple senses. We're talking about God is light, that phrase, 1 John 1:5 today. I think one sense is morally and ethically. Now, it says God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Morally, God never has any evil motives. There's never a sinful motive. If you've ever wondered, how could God do that? Like, how could you, God, do that? You ever thought that before? That's impugning his motives or justice or actions. And God, James 1:13, you can write down James 1:13, God cannot sin. It's impossible. Even if God wanted to try to sin, which he doesn't want to try, but if he wanted to try, it was impossible for him to sin. God always has. He is light. There is no darkness in him. Sometimes justice is delayed. That doesn't mean God is unjust. It means it's coming. That's what it means. So God is light. I think first and foremost, it means that God is pure in his motives, pure in his actions. I think there's another sense, though, that we can learn. Because God is light. Well, physically, I think we can study physical light, the science of light, the nature of light, and learn about God who says, I am light. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 is a verse changed me years ago. Romans 1:20 says that God, when he designed the universe, he built his truth into nature so that when you study science, when you study physics, when you study biology, you can learn about invisible truths. Look what he says, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, things you cannot see about God, are clearly seen. How do you see the invisible? Being understood by the things that are made, the natural universe, physics, science, chemistry, biology. Even his eternal power, you can learn about, and Godhead, that's his authority. So they are without excuse. Romans 1:20 says God built invisible truths, truths about him, into the physical design of the universe. Two verses to write down that follow up and unpack that further. Write down Psalm 19:1 and 1 Kings 4:33. Psalm 19:1, 1 Kings 4:33. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. You can see the hand of God when you study science. Wow. It's 1 Kings 4:33. Solomon was teaching. And as he taught, he used examples from biology. He spoke of using examples of trees, animals, birds, creeping things, and fish. Because each of them reveal God's truth, invisible truth, in different ways. In fact, that's why before you go to the zoo next time, before you go to the petting zoo next time, Realize how many animals in the Bible says when you study that animal, that pictures a certain type of person. Sheep pictures a certain type of person. Goats picture a certain type of person. Dogs and pigs picture a certain type of person, and not just your ex. A certain type of person. That's a good joke. A certain type of person. Horses picture a certain type of person. Hawks and snakes and ostriches. Ostriches picture a certain type of mom in Scripture. And so when you study animals, you can study about God's nature. This includes light. So God says, before there's creation, I am light. So I'm going to create light. How am I going to create light? Like me. God is light. Genesis 1 verse 3 is the creation of light. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when God created light, he created light to teach us about him because God is light. And in so many ways, the science of light and our scientific discoveries have given us more and more understanding of the nature of God. And this is so exciting to me, this topic. Frankly, I love it. I love studying the Bible, and I love studying science, and I love learning how scientific discoveries, given enough time, eventually start to catch up to the Bible. It's so cool how that happens. And so I got excited. I actually did this in preparation for this series. I studied every time in the Bible it mentions light and darkness. My friends, there are a lot of verses. And I studied multiple times, and where do you start with this topic? Then I went back to science, and I restudied the science of light, the physics of light, the quantum level of light, and it was awesome. In fact, I got so excited. The first verse in our message, I looked at it, and I thought, no one's going to follow me here. It's too complicated for 90% of people here. In fact, here's one of the slides I actually had in the early version of this talk. Here it is. There it is. Yeah. That was actually in the early version of my talk. A case could be made. Tim, isn't it still in your talk? Yes. But I'm not talking about it. That's the difference. Okay. So here's the thing. I step back and I want to pull off three scientific discoveries, give you enough to go deeper on your own if you enjoy the science, but you can learn about God is light. How do we learn about God? Through scientific discoveries. Let's go back in history to 1676, a man named Ole Rømer, and I apologize to my Danish friends, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, Ole Rømer. So he discovered the speed of light. See, before Ole Rømer, scientists thought light was instantaneous. There was no time for light. Light was just there. Ole Rømer was the first guy in history to prove light has a discrete amount of time. Here was his experiment, by the way. And so at the bottom, you are here. You're on that circle. There's the sun at the bottom, and there's the earth. You are here. Every year, we make one rotation around the sun, one orbit. Ole Rømer spent 8 of those rotations, 8 years circling the sun, watching Jupiter. Jupiter is the top circle, and one of its moons is called Io, Io, Io. And there are, by the way, 67 moons of Jupiter. And a wild fact about Jupiter, they, on a regular basis, Jupiter adds moons and subtracts moons. But as of today, there are 67 moons. But he was watching Io at the time, 8 years, and he noticed something, Ole Rømer did, 1676, that sometimes the rotations of Io, as it disappears and reappears, change time, like 3 or 4 minutes. And he went, ah, that must be because the speed of light is discrete. It's not instant. It takes a different amount of time with different distances. We know today that light is the fastest thing in the physical universe. C is what represents light. It's 186,000 miles a second. That is the speed of light. 1/1,000. Light just traveled 186,000 miles. 1/1,000. So how about if it goes around the earth at 7.5 times? Around the earth. 1/1,000. That is fast. Light is the fastest thing in the known universe, and yet God said, God is light. Oh, God is fast. He puts to shame physical light. And I think God cheats, because it's easy to be fast when you're already in the future. Of course you can be fast. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is fast. Revelation 1, verse 8 says this. Jesus, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He's in both places right now. says the Lord, who is, Jesus is here now, who was, he's still in the past, who is to come, he's already in the future. The Almighty. Of course you can be fast when you're already in the future. This is how God operates. How fast is God? He's in your future, already working out what you need before you get there. My friends, that is the love and care and how fast, the speed of God that we serve. That is awesome. 1 John 1:5, God is light. What does that teach us about God? Well, let's go forward to 1800 now, a man named William Herschel, and he discovered the invisibility of light. So William Herschel was a British astronomer and a British composer of all things. He was a composer of music and an astronomer. And he discovered Uranus in 1781, and I'm not going to make a joke about that. He also discovered invisible light, and we call this today infrared light. Here was William Herschel's experiment, and it was really brilliant. So he took, have you ever seen like a sunlight going through a prism? The prism separates light into its different colors. There you see the blue, the purple blue on the right-hand side, all the way over to the left-hand side, the red. Here's what Ole Rømer did. It's brilliant. He says, I wonder if there's invisible light. So he put a thermometer in the red zone, some of the hottest light there, and guess what? The thermometer went up. You'd expect, because it's taking energy, it's heating up the thermometer. Then William Herschel did this. He put the thermometer just to the left of the red where he couldn't see light. And again, the thermometer went up. And William Herschel discovered there is light that we cannot see that's just as real, and it's all around us. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's actually there. God is light. He discovered infrared light. So I'm going to give you an example here. Now, this is a flashlight. Light is actually energy on the move. And so there's batteries in here, and it's shining out of here, and it's sending energy to you. There's light on the move. I'll make sure you get a chance. Everybody gets a chance to see that. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. You like that light on the move? Now, sometimes you can feel the energy on the move, like when you're in the sun, and it feels really hot. You can feel that energy. Other times, you can't actually feel it. But your cones do in your eye, so that your eyes are feeling it, though you can't physically feel it, and that's what light is. This is a remote control for a TV. And in my house, this belonged with Dad. And so this is an infrared light. By the way, I'm gonna turn this on. There are two beams of light coming at you. Both are real. Do you see both of them? They're both shining at you right now. If you could see infrared, you would see a beam of light just as bright shining at you right now. God is light. Isn't this exactly like God? Sometimes you sense him. He's so tangible. He's real. He's there. And sometimes you think God is not there. So if you don't see God, do you really think he's not there? God is light. We serve a God that when you think he's not there, he's still there. He's still there. In fact, the next chart, here's a chart of the light spectrum. This is wild too. So light is a spectrum. It's all the same light, same nature. On the left hand, you see X-rays. Its X-rays are invisible. Then you see the visible spectrum. There's our infrared. On the right hand, radio waves. Tell me that's not the Trinity. See, it's all the same light, all the same light, all the same God. But there's an invisible part we call God the Father. Then there's a visible part we call God the Son. There's an invisible part again called God the Holy Spirit. Three phases, all light, all together right there, which is what the Bible says. Of course it does. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image, the visible part of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. See, Jesus is the part of God we can actually see. See, God is all, the invisibility of light discovered in 1800 reminds us that God's there, even when you don't think he's there. Just because you don't see him, you don't think he's there, God is light. One more discovery, 1905 now, Albert Einstein. So for years, scientists had wrestled with two contradictory theories about light that both sometimes seem to be true. And for 300 years, they debated this. So Albert Einstein came along, and so here was the theories at the time. Sometimes light acts like a wave. And there's a picture right here we're going to put on the screen. Sometimes light acts like a wave. There it is. And so imagine a pebble dropped in water. And the ripples, the waves going out. A lot of times when light is traveling, it acts like a wave, just like a pebble in water. However, that's true until it hits a surface at the quantum level, because sometimes light acts like a particle. And so it acts like a wave on the way somewhere until really weirdly it stops acting like a wave. And now it acts like a particle when it hits a surface at a quantum level. It caused great confusion, great debates. Albert Einstein was a German, a theoretical physicist. He's also 26 years old at the time. What were you doing at 26? Or what will you do at 26? He was solving the wave-particle duality of light. Here was his quote in 1905. He says this: "We are faced with a new kind of difficulty. We have two contradictory pictures of reality. Separately, neither of them, neither theory about light, fully explains the phenomena of light, but together they do." See, neither view is fully accurate. Sometimes light acts like a wave, sometimes like a particle, but he put it in the wave part. It's a duality of light, but you know there's a duality of God. Because that's the mystery of Christmas. It's called the hypostatic union, H-Y-P-O, static union. Jesus, is he fully God? Yes, he's fully God. But is he fully human? Yes. How does that work out? I don't know. Because Jesus is both deity and fully human. That is what Christmas is about. Just like light, I'm going to make light like me, like my son. God is light. They can't figure this out. Wave and particle, you can't figure this out. Divine and human, that is God. The divine union, John 1:1, he is God. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. So incredible. I cut one of the coolest 4-minute video clips from Wikipedia on the wave particle duality. You got to watch it. It'll blow your minds. Blow your minds. But that is the God we serve, because God is light. Speed. You want to talk about raw speed? God is light. Fastest thing in the universe. He's already in your future right now, taking care of things for you. That's how fast God, your God is. Invisible light, you can't see him. Yeah, sometimes you can't see God, but you really think he's not there if you can't see him? Is that the case? Duality of light, that is Jesus. That is the mystery of Christmas. God is light. One more thing on the subject. 1 John 1 verse 5, that verse again, says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I want to put a picture on the screen and ask you to think about how your life depends on light. And ask yourself, what if sunlight vanished? What if sunlight vanished? How dependent is everyone in this world on light? Think for a second. What if we had no light? Well, that's a nightmare situation, my friends. that's a doomsday scenario. God designed this world to need a continuous influx of the gift of light. Why? Because of our weather. Sunlight keeps the earth from freezing over. We need a continuous influx of light. Whether you believe in God or not, photosynthesis, sunlight allows plants to convert CO2 into oxygen. For our health, we need the continuous light for our health. Sunlight is the primary source for us of vitamin D. 15 minutes a day in the sun gives you vitamin D. We need the light for our sleep patterns, healthy sleep. When you see blue light, which is connected to daytime, and you can be blind. You want to be sighted. Blind people, if blue light hits, and sighted people, if blue light hits your skin, your body starts to wake up. Which is why all of our devices in our house have night mode on them. So when the sun goes down, we don't see the blues, we just see the reds. Why? Red lets you sleep at night, blue wakes you up. And light, we need light for our moods. Sunlight plays a huge role in stabilizing our moods. And that's exactly what James 1 verse 17 says. James 1 17, we need light continuously. We need God pouring gifts continuously. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We have a God that designed this world to need a continuous influx of light to remind us, whether you believe in God or not, you still owe your life and your breath and your heartbeats to a God sustaining you and being good to you. Now, because God is light, we have a choice. Because God is light, we have a choice. And I'm going to put a picture on the screen. Essentially, we have two paths. We can either choose to walk the path of darkness on our own, without God, or the path of light, because God is light. Which path are you on? See, the path on the left, here's our choice. If God is light, the path on the left is a path of darkness. It's colder on that path. You can't really see where you're going on that path. There's little vision on that path. It's a bit more foreboding, a bit more dangerous on that path. You feel alone on that path. That's the path of darkness, path without God. God is light. What about the path on the right? That's the path when you're going to walk with God, where you follow Jesus Christ. It's a path that's brighter on the right side. It's a sunnier path. You can actually see clearly in the path on the right. You feel warmer on the path on the right. You feel safer, certainly, on the path of the right. You're more confident in the path on the right. It's more fun on the path on the right. It's better for you being on the path on the right. And that's exactly what John says. After saying God is light, the next two verses talk about the choice we have to make. He says, verse 6 and 7, 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we're on the left path, we lie and do not practice the truth. He says, if you're a child of light, you've received Jesus as Savior, and you claim to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, but you're either not following Jesus or allowing sin to rule your life, then you're on that left path. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, this relationship, the spiritual connection. That was our Wednesday night. We walked in at a certain level spiritually. We walked out better spiritually, better emotionally, because we had fellowship in the light with one another. Do you have to be perfect to be on that path? That's the path of light is for the perfect people. I don't belong there. No, actually, sinners belong on that path. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, people think perfect people, good people, are on the path on the right. That's certainly not true. He says sinners, people who stumble and fall down, but they're in the light so their friends can help them up. People who sin and need forgiveness, they're still on that path of light. So people who make mistakes, who fall down, are totally imperfect. It's not whether you sin or you don't. It's whether you follow or whether you don't. Whether you've surrendered to Jesus or whether you haven't. One of the amazing things about being on the path of light is everything turns into worship. Do you realize emailing can be worship? Sitting in that horrible meeting at work can be worship. Texting can be an act of worship. Brushing your teeth, an act of worship. Washing the clothes, folding them, pure worship. It happens to people on the right path, the path of light. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do, from the profound to the mundane, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. I hate this class. Ugh, I can't stand this. I'm never going to need this subject in real life. I don't even like this teacher. Why am I in this class? See, you're in this class, being in that class, bringing your best, your A game to that horrible class is an act of worship. One of our guys, one of his prayer requests this week was, he didn't like his job. He's in a tough season in his job. He says, I'm not having fun in my job. I don't like my job. I just wish I could enjoy my job again. And as we start talking about it, he says, I realize I forgot two things about my job. Number one, I knew that my job could be worship, but I'd forgotten it. I'd forgotten that when I bring my A game to horrible situations even, that God treats that as worship. He likes that. I totally forgot that. And he says, I forgot I'm supposed to be a missionary at my job. Like I'm there to be the light to others on the left path, to beckon them onto the path of light on the right. I have lost sight. I used to think about my job as about being a missionary there, or school as a missionary there, but I forgot. It could be worship and missionary activity. What happened? He'd stumbled, fallen in the area of his work, that grace group. We gathered together, we fellowshiped, and we all said, hey, what are you doing here? Yeah, your life's normal too. I'm having a hard time. My life's normal. Hey, we became better together. And when you're in the path on the right, everything is worship. So here's my question for you. Which path best represents your path? Are you walking on the left path? See, on the left path, two types of people there. The people who don't have Christ as Savior. I walked for 19 years on that left path. Until when I was 19 years old, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And God plucked me off the left path and plunked me onto the right path. But you can be a Christian, a child of light, and walk the left path. It's easy. Things happen, and you find yourself in darkness, a child of light, walking in the darkness, because Jesus turned right, and you hung a Louis. You went left, and now you're in darkness. Or is your life the path on the right? Because you do follow Jesus. John 8:12, Jesus says, he who follows me, John 8:12, he who follows me is in the light. Is your path the right path? What is God calling you? The choice God wants you to make today, because God is light. Let's pray. Lord, we do come to you, and we thank you so much for your goodness and your love. The fact that you're light, I was blown away even more than this. Studying the profound science around light. God, you blew me away. And so many things ended up on the cutting room floor. But I pray, help me to remember just what a mystery the science, the physics, at the quantum level that light is, that you are. I pray for those people on the left path, the path of darkness. Maybe they're a believer in Jesus Christ, but they've been, for whatever reason, sin is reigning in their life, or you've called them to make a decision and they've said no to you, or not yet. They've procrastinated, and they've procrastinated into darkness. And now they're in a path of darkness. They don't want to be there anymore. It's not a fun side. They want to follow you in the light. May they call out to you and pray, dear Jesus, forgive me for this sin. Forgive me for not following you. God, put me back in the light. Put me back following you. Dear Jesus, restore children of light to the path of light. I pray for those people just like me, normal people, sincere people, the age of 19, I gave my life to Jesus. Would they, people right here who don't have Christ as Savior, pray to you right now, Jesus, confessing you as Lord, placing their faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, and asking you to lead, to guide, surrendering to you, Jesus. And may you pluck them off that path, because they're making you their Savior, and plunk them onto the path of light. We pray for this series that you might raise the profound nature of the miracle of Christmas, the duality of God. God clothed in human form, light coming to this world. God is light. May we love you so much that our friends and family says it's bordering on adoration. Like we crossed, we totally adore Jesus. Help us to worship you, love you, adore you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.